The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have two gentlemen from a company called Attain, A-T-T-A-I-N. And you may be scratching your head saying, well, why'd you have these guys in the studio? Well, let me tell you, I'll give you three reasons why we have these gentlemen in the studio. The first reason, 2016 Consulting Management Magazine says one of the fastest growing companies ever. 2016 Washington Post, one of the top workplaces to work. Okay. 2016 AFSEA, Phil Agee got an award, Emerging Leader of the Year. And I imagine Phil is a young person, and I'm a big fan of helping young persons grow. I mean, I have that tattooed on my arm. Help young people every day. I teach. I have workshops. I constantly help people grow. And put all these three together, I said, well, what's with these? They're either doing, they're smart or they're lucky or something, but they're doing something very unusual. And then I found out they've been in business only 7 years, and they have over 500 full-time employees. So there's some magic sauce here. So I thought maybe we'd bring them in the studio and find out how they can help my listeners, federal IT professionals. Our guests today are Greg Baroni, he's the CEO, and Manish Agarwal, president from Attain, A-T-T-A-I-N.com. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. We are doing great.
Good, good, good. Well, we're trying to find the magic sauce here so all your competitors are tuned in and listening. But before we begin, Greg, tell us about your background, how you wound up working for Attain, please.
Sure, I'll be glad to. So in terms of background, Southern California native, a big-time fan of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who unfortunately lost to the world champion, I should say now the world champion after 100-plus years.
And you're a USC Chicago fan, Cubs. Too. USC fan as well,
I am a Trojan diehard.
Yeah, we know that.
Moved here in 1982 and joined what was then Pete Morrick Mitchell, or KPMG. Spent 20 years with them, 14 years as a partner, and frankly, one of the senior partners that led the separation of the consulting business from the audit and tax business. Left to become the president of Unisys Corporation, was there for a whopping 28 quarters.
Wow.
Had a great time there, leading its public sector business, which included the U.S. federal business. And then in 2009, we launched this company called Attain.
This crazy little company. Who knew where it was going to go?
Yeah, I know. And, you know, as we did, we set out to build a company, a great company. And our goal was to kind of integrate the collective knowledges and experiences that we gained both in the workplace, but also bringing together the knowledge of the business titans that had really, or the scholars that had studied the business. And having been a student of both IT services firms and consultancies, we could see the building momentum of the disruptive forces that were reshaping the market at the time. And that would place a heck of a lot more emphasis on value, on creativity, and on new business models. And that's a large reason why we centered on three principles: built to last, next generation, and then values driven.
Okay, let's take a break. We're going to find about Manish, and we'll talk about Attain as much as you want in a few minutes. Manish, what's your background? How'd you wind up with Attain, please?
Sure. So, you know, I grew up in India, came to U.S. doing foreign exchange systems for a company called Thomas Cook, and I met Greg in D.C. And in California in a bar. What I discovered is...
This is a bad opening here, buddy.
Greg does not drink. He drinks water, and you sit beside him and drink alcohol. And with that, I joined KPMG. You know how that would work.
Yep.
So I joined KPMG under Greg's mentorship, and quickly grew to become a partner in KPMG. From KPMG, you know, I'm a student of consulting. KPMG taught me a lot. I went and joined Unisys, where we were transforming to a services company. Greg had already joined Unisys. And I had this wonderful opportunity of leading the Asia-Pac region from China to Australia. I learned a lot, relocated to Singapore, did that business, and came back. and then joined Greg, and you know, we started this company, which has been great.
So what's the magic sauce? How can you go to 500 people so fast? I mean, how do you keep names? I can't even type those names that fast.
When I looked at it, Greg talked about three principles that we founded the company on: built to last, next generation, values driven. I kind of looked at it and said, you know, with Greg, that what we are going to do, you talked about growing young people and so on. We said we are going to serve people, be it our clients, community, or the people who work with it. So I like to say we have the best career path in the industry, and we can talk about it. That career path gives people more passion to do more with our clients. That made us successful. Then one of our values is be bold. We said we are going to be different, bold, innovative, and tell our clients new things that others are afraid to tell them. We'll be bold. We'll take more risk than them. That helped us with innovation. So our innovation coupled with the best career path and the overall culture that that created in the company is what led us to success.
Well, that's great, great, great. Everyone talks about principles, and I've, you know, I could probably name 100 companies in town here after 470 interviews. I could easily name 100 companies that at least have espoused those words.
Okay.
And me, I would like to be an Olympic swimmer. I would like to have a Harvard PhD and my goal. But, you know, everybody has goals. But you know, Greg, some people swing and a miss. And somehow you've connected with your federal audience. And I guess you've put those, it's like applied engineering. So you applied the goals where a lot of people have tried, Greg, and failed at this.
So I think a critical success factor for us has been around focus. You know, we didn't say we were going to serve everybody and what I call the spray to pray model. You know, we pretty much said our focus was going to be achieving a level of greatness by serving others, as Manish was just saying. And to be measured by the enduring positive impact that we would have on those we serve, not only our clients and employees, but the communities in which we live and work. We say that's service with a capital S. And that would be our market focus. So instead of just serving everybody, we said government, education, and healthcare would be, and not-for-profit communities would be our primary market focus. And to, as Manish was just saying, to focus in around the disruptive forces that are reshaping the market and to create new business models around innovation and creativity and value so that we could serve others better.
You know, I've been dying to write a blog post, and the title is Hocus Pocus, Who's Got the Focus? So, Manish, you must have the focus too.
Yeah, sure. So it's on those markets. And really, it's I like to say we focus on our clients and our people. The clients are pretty well-defined in the federal government. We take our solutions, but we also treat our people almost like we treat our clients and give them this career path. We give clients... We advise them rather than just look at the RFP and say, okay, this is what we got to do for the client. We try to build models for them that are sustainable, whether they use us or they use another company. And that is what our focus is. How does the client succeed over the long term? How do we give them that irrespective of who they're working with?
So you set up a framework or what some people call a wire, an intellectual wireframe, not a digital wireframe, something intellectual. So that's one of the keys to your success. We're going to take a break real quick here, Greg. But before we break, I want to talk about this word. And this is an impressive word. This is, of course, a 5-6-letter word called listen, L-I-S-T-E-N. Yeah. And that is right in your website. And it says, yeah, we listen. Well, that, you know, listening skills, I mean, you can't get a degree in engineering or English and take a course in listening. I mean, it has to be. I'll say it has to be from the top. It's got to be from leadership. And leadership has to instill that in people. And if they don't, then people are going to go off on their own, and they're the smartest ones in the room, and they know all the end. And I know a lot of people who are the smartest ones in the room. But so what? You can be the smartest one in the room. If you don't listen, you can't engage with your clients, the federal government. Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk about Attain and how they have attained so much success. This is John Gilroy with Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Greg Baroni, CEO, and Manish Agarwal, president from Attain. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Greg Baroni, CEO, and Manish Agarwal, president from a company called Attain, A-T-T, AIN. It's kind of a radio-friendly term. Well, we talked about how the company started, rapid growth. I see all these accolades. In fact, I read the accolades, so they're hiring a lot of people. They're doing something right with my listeners, and my listeners are federal IT professionals. Greg, let me give you a profile of my typical listener. Go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 9:15, they're ready to call suicide hotline. They're frustrated. I mean, they have to move to the cloud. They don't have the resources. Okay. They have to do this. Their hands are tied. They have to make the expansion. They can't hire people. People are leaving. They can't attract talent. I mean, this is very, very frustrating for a lot of people. So what we want to hear, and I'll toss to you, Manish, here. Well, give me an example of an agency that you guys have helped.
Sure. So let me take an example of an agency called EPA, that's Environmental Protection Agency.
Never heard of it.
And what we have done for them is we have an application development project there where we develop multiple applications for them, look at the quality of water and different things, which we work with state governments, we work with local counties and the federal agency. And all this software was being developed using a waterfall old method. And we understood quickly for success of our end client, which was EPA, that needed to be in a different customer-centric way where we talk to the state governments versus federal developing and pushing it to them. It needs to be customer-centric. It needs to use new techniques, open source. It needs to use kind of UI, UX, front ends, user agile method. And over the last 2 years, we have transformed most of the application development we do into this new methodology that has given them quicker ROI. Rather than waiting 2 years for a system, they see now every 3 months a new functionality being deployed.
You know, Manish, you can go to federalnewsradio.com and go in the searcher and type in Agile. You'll probably get 200,000 sure. hits. And anyway, Agile is one of these things that it's easy to talk about, hard to do. I mean, I've had so many people, blah, 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 and run a 4-minute mile. No. It's hard to run. And it's hard to work with human beings to accomplish this, Agile, isn't it?
I agree. And let me give you one of the challenge. When we develop in a waterfall method, the federal employees get involved in the requirements gathering for the software to be developed and then in the testing. So the requirements last for 3-4 months and testing for 3-4 months. In between 2 years, they are non-existent. They go to their day job. With Agile, they have to be involved every day and still do a day job. That's a big challenge. How do we do two things at once?
Great.
So there are a lot of challenges, but as a next generation consulting company, I think our aim is to give the whole solution. How we'll deal with people, how we'll make it effective. That is the secret sauce. It's not whether it's Agile or DevOps or Waterfall. It is solving their problem of what they see.
Great. Well, Greg, I'm going to ask you a problem-solving question here.
Okay.
So if you go to your website, okay, look at the press releases, and one of the press releases said, hey, you folks just bought a company, and the company you bought was ACF Solutions. So let's say I'm working for Interior. I'm listening to this interview. I'm saying to myself, well, yeah, you guys just bought ACF Solutions, so how can that help me? So how can your acquisition of ACF Solutions help a federal IT professional move to the cloud, improve security, reduce cost?
So great question there, John. And I would start by saying we acquired ACF Solutions largely because it had a huge impact on the markets it was serving, not necessarily in the federal market, but with those markets that are closely adjacent to the federal market. I'd start by saying that we had a strong point of view on cloud. We believe that it's not just about the technology, it's about the transformative impact that it's having on the business models and the workforce in which the cloud operates. And that's, in fact, what ACF Solutions was implementing. They weren't just implementing the technology. In fact, they are a Salesforce.com partner. So you might say, well, how does that apply to a Department of Interior, for example? Well, Department of Interior has customers, and they're looking for lifelong relationships with those customers. And what ACF Solutions enables us to do is it's like a force multiplier, integrating our capabilities, which is, as Manish was just walking you through some examples with EPA and software development, and then looking at how we can not only implement the technologies associated with customer relationship management, but also how do we modify the processes and deal with the workforce impacts that this kind of technology brings. At the same time, and the reason we took a company that was outside the federal market is we were also looking to pilot new business models in the federal market. And that's really why we thought this would be a powerful enabler.
You know, in the nonprofit world, they're called members.
Yeah.
And in the legal world, they're called clients. And the federal government calls them citizens. Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea is to use technology to give better service to citizens. And what you are an enabler, Manish. Yeah. You enable people to improve service to their citizens. And that it's the same model. It can be a member, it can be a client, be a customer, whatever it is. But it's improving service to citizens in many aspects.
Yeah. And, you know, John, if I take what Greg said about ACF solution, I believe ACF Solutions works in the commercial space, has certain best practices from commercial that we can take to federal with all their certified people they have in this cloud technology and make it a real good experience for our federal client. So it is combining our federal expertise with commercial best practices and taking the solution versus just the federal methodology. It's combining them.
So, Greg, earlier in the program, you talked about focus and looking at government education, healthcare, and nonprofit. And you consciously did not pick the intelligence community or defense because, you know, you can't be everything to everybody.
Right.
And so you focus on citizen. That's why I tossed out the word, focused on civilian. That's why I tossed out the word citizen.
Right.
So good plan, bad plan? Would you have changed that earlier in your career?
No, it's easy to second guess that, but There are a lot of people chasing the defense community, and it's not to say that we will ignore the defense community, but it's not our initial focus, and nor is the intelligence community. Now, at the same time, will we serve those markets? Absolutely. Wherever we can bring, as Manish was just referencing, best practices, and of course, maybe it's not best, but it's better. It's improved. And so we look for every opportunity in which we can serve those markets in ways that improve the lives of those that are living there. As you said, we started off at one point saying that a federal IT worker wakes up in the morning at 9 o'clock, and by 9:15, right? Well, our job is really to make their lives easier.
Take it off their speed dial. Right. Let me take that number off your
call
speed dial.
Call a tank.
And Greg, I would add to that, what we have done is looked at markets where we can make an impact rather than just get revenue. So for example, with defense healthcare, when Greg said we work in healthcare, we also work in defense healthcare, and we are doing a project there with defense healthcare, which won the DoD 2015 Innovation Award because of how we are doing it, the new best practices we have brought to it, and the outcomes it's given them. So we do work with defense, but we work where we can make an impact versus just going after things.
No, I think it's a great differentiation. I think I fell into the trap of best practices. Well, when cutting the grass, this is best practices. When making a donut, here's best practices. Well, that kind of implies some kind of arrogance that I happen to know. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe a better way to do it is, well, why don't you take and get the oil hotter for your donuts? Maybe a better way would be. And so maybe that is the magic sauce, Greg, is that your approach is not an arrogant approach. Maybe it's a better way to do it.
Yeah. And I always say that we founded the company, and I said this initially here, right, on capital S services. And I'd say that our job is really about helping others succeed. That's our primary job. It's not about growing revenue and growing profit and all those things that most companies do. But our focus is really on helping others. And while those things are important, they're like oxygen to a company, they're not why you exist. You exist to help others. And that's really the essence of our campaign.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about Attain. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Greg Baroni, CEO, and Manish Agarwal, President from Attain. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In studio, Greg Baroni, CEO, Manish Agarwal, President from Attain, ATTAIN.com. Pretty radio friendly, easy to say that. So friendly, I went to your website this morning. Looked around, saw this, saw that. There's a section there called Insights, and I think this holds several white papers, maybe How We Did It stories. And I read one, and I was kind of interested. There was there was someone, I think maybe Manish was sharing a platform or worked on a white paper with IBM and Amazon Web Services, said to myself, hey, I thought these were feud and families. So my question to you is does your ability to work with different companies help serve my audience? Is that part of the secret here?
Yeah. Thank you, John. And first, thank you for going to our website at www.attain.com. And by the way, there's a lot
Watch
to
it,
said.
Buster. So, the different vendors, how do you get along with them?
Yeah. And so I would say a couple things. You mentioned a word early on, listen. And that's really the centerpiece of what we do. We try more than anything to understand the problems our clients are facing, and then we spend time formulating the solutions that may or may not involve certain vendors. And so while there are a number of vendors that we partner with, first and foremost is how do we create value for that client? How do we go about making their lives better? And we do that by integrating the different vendors and their solutions to solve business problems.
So it's not all a 9/16 wrench. Sometimes you need a drill, right. Sometimes you need a hammer, then a rubber hammer, then a different types of a framing hammer, all kinds of different things. Manish, a lot of times I go to events, I talk to people, and they ask me questions about my guests and someone like you. I mean, you have 500 employees, even this high-tech industry that's changing, I think, since we got in the studio, it's changed 10 times.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up? What do you read? How do you try to any kind of a knowledge? How do you keep up with it?
So I listen to a lot of videos on the internet. TED is one of my favorite to go and look at how this exponential change in technology is happening and how people are thinking. I recently listened to a talk which said, what if Google invents its own currency, which becomes the universal currency, how would we deal with it? And I love that those kind of thought processes because it applies as solutions to our customers. I read books. Right now I'm reading a book called All for One, which talks about how you can serve your customers better.
That's interesting. Right? It's a technology background like you, how to serve customers better.
Better, right? So reading books, listening to talks, and then I think you have to have alliances. As a company, we have about 12 alliances, and we call them in periodically to understand their roadmap and their thinking. For example, Workday did a lot of stuff on machine learning. We wanted to learn that first and help our customers how it can help them achieve their goals as a business. So those are the primary three, and then hiring top talent because they come with so much knowledge that they pass on to you in informal meetings and things like that.
Here's a fun fact I'll toss out to you. You mentioned Google. Every day there's 3 billion searches on Google.
Yeah.
On Facebook, there's 2 billion.
Yeah.
So we have a rivalry here. This is getting interesting. It's heating up. It's kind of fascinating. Greg, Manish just talked about hiring right people. You know, one of the challenges I see in my world of software developers and the people it's putting the right team together. And many times the piece of the puzzle is not obvious, but it's intuitively, you know, oh, let's put someone with an English degree in this team. Why? Just trust me on this. Manish can't write. We're going to put in Sally Smith because she can write. I mean, this is not machine learning. It's intuitive putting together teams. This is difficult, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a great question or observation there, John. I'd start by saying being in the industry as long as we have, maybe that's good or bad. But it starts with pattern recognition, and we have an instinct about what are the traits, what are the characteristics, not just the skill sets that make a great team. We always say that we start this philosophy of hiring around this notion of wanting to be a place for ideas and the people that have them. And we cultivate that and nurture that in our environment, in our workforce. And in fact, we always say we're looking for the entrepreneurs of the next generation, and we look to build career paths for them. Manish always says that we have the best career path in the industry, and he says that because he believes firmly that nowhere else can you actually grow to become an owner and a true owner of a business with a say in governance, not just some options and stock, restricted stock. You actually get real stock and real ownership in a company. And that's very rare in our industry today. We believe firmly on another principle: share the wealth with those that create it. And that's one of the tenets of the way we build our workforce.
Well, Manish, I want to switch from wealth to health.
Okay.
Healthcare. You know, let's say they listen to this interview and there's snow on the ground and they're talking about pitchers and catchers and spring training and they call you up.
Yeah.
And Manish walks in the door. I would think that you're going to have to take some kind of a survey or maybe an audit of their existing resources to effectively use the resources they have, because many times it takes an outsider to look and see the problem. Sure. I remember when I was in college, I was putting a water pump on a car, and I put it, there's five bolts. I put it in four. I couldn't find the fifth bolt. Mm. I had a friend from across the street walked over. It's right there in front of you.
Sure.
I didn't see the bolt.
Yeah.
And so is this a good place to start when you initial engagement is just trying to figure out what an agency has or department has?
Sure. And, you know, you have to have an assessment for the overall program which they're talking to you about for that to be successful. I think one of our strengths is because of the management consulting flavor we have, we are able to quickly assess and know what are the right questions to ask the client so it doesn't take them a lot of time and we can speak their language. So if you take healthcare, for example, right now we are working with NIH to help cure cancer. We have molecular biologists and so on that work with them. So they speak a different language. So when they talk to the customers, they can quickly assess. We also do a lot of benchmarking of ourselves and what our customers are doing, what the commercial sector is doing, which adds value to our federal customers.
You know, Greg, if Google had a Google Trends for Govies, Google Trends for Govies, and you typed in analysis and visualization, you'd get all kinds of spikes and up and up and up and up. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to understanding information, are there products or tools that you use for visualization? Do you use Tableau? Do you use something else? We've had them in the studio and all kinds of different ways to look at it. So what kind of tools do you think my listeners should test out or take a look at?
I mean, you just referenced one of them. Tableau is clearly one of the visualization tools. But there are many other vendors in the market that offer those kinds of things. I mean, we work with MicroStrategy, for example, and you know, I can tell you that even though they're not a visualization company, Workday is another example. I think you have to look at those that are willing to move the forefront of knowledge forward and techniques, tools and techniques.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, we're not wed to any of those. We're wed really to solving business problems and solving them in ways that improve the lives of those we're serving. So
Manish,
you want to?
Okay. Yeah, what I would add, just going into technology, I see as these cloud platforms like Workday and Salesforce get implemented, they actually do not use relational databases. They use things like columnar in-memory computing that allows you to visualize information real time without having a separate visualization tool. So it's embedded in the platform you purchase rather than the application that runs on the platform. And that is the current trend, which will make data and information more real for our customers.
When I think of collaboration, I usually think of a small team in a small agency.
Okay.
We go to transportation, go to commerce. What about interagency, between agency collaborations? Any challenges? I think that's that should be up there with data analytics as a challenge, is cross-agency collaboration. I mean, woo, that'll scare some people listening.
Yeah, I think that is a very big challenge. I think with the shared service initiative, some of that is coming together. One more we can talk about is the DoD and VA interchangeable, you know, interoperability and kind of sharing information so we can take care of our people who serve our country as soldiers and servicemen and women. I think, again, there are technologies such as cloud which are being used that will make it much better, but collaboration is a challenge.
Well, we have to collaborate with our sponsors and take a break. Okay. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Greg Baroni, CEO, and Manish Agarwal, President from Attain. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Greg Baroni, CEO, and Manish Agarwal, President from Attain. ATTAIN. And this is the time of the show where people are listening, both of you, and they're wondering, now, who is really the card-carrying nerd in this room? Is it John? Is it Greg? Is it Manny? So what I'm going to do is I come up with a scientific 10-question survey, and we give it both to you, and we'll see who the actual card-carrying nerd is in the room. Greg, we're going to start with you. Do you have an Instagram account?
Nope.
How many cell phones have you just impulsively purchased for yourself in the last year?
Zero.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
No. I'm going to be the
Do you have a Snapchat account?
No.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
Android.
What's the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days?
Waze.
Break into your house. How many tablet devices we see floating around there?
About a dozen.
Ooh, he has potential. We have a heartbeat. And when was your most recent post in social networking?
When was it?
No, not the company. Yours. Looking around. Don't look at Manish. And I look at your arm. When's your Apple Watch due?
This is a Rolex, so unfortunately I don't.
Throw that out the window. My way. Throw it my way. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Manish, this is going to be easy for you to whoop this one.
Manish,
No. You can whoop him.
Looking and
you can, Manish, you can whoop them easily. He's got one. He's got one good answer. Okay there we go. Ready. Manish, do you have an Instagram account?
No.
How many cell phones have you just impulsively purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
No.
Do you have a Snapchat account?
No.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
iOS.
What was the most popular app on that smartphone in the last 30 days?
OneNote.
This is pretty boring. I'm going to sleep over this side.
Well, for business, for personal needs, Dave.
Break into your house. How many tablet devices do we see floating around?
About four or five.
Okay. When was your most recent post on social networking?
This morning.
When's your Apple Watch due?
I don't use it.
And finally, last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Paper.
Well, I think you're neck and neck for normal. No nerds in the room that I can see.
He's more technology.
You can have lots of employees going to start quitting. Oh, no. I have to work for normal people? We can't have that. Normal people are always interested in the future. And this time of year, people are looking at future activities, what's going to happen. There's going to be a big change in January. You know that. Good, bad, ugly. We'll find out. All kinds of changes in the world of computing. I can't keep up with the fire hose of changes in the computing world. So, Manish, my question to you is, gaze into the future, look into the crystal ball, and where do you see, in the next 5 years, the federal government? Big transition to cloud, maybe private cloud, resistance, no funding. What do you see happening in the next 5 years?
No, I look at, whatever happens in the next 5 years will create a lot of opportunity for change. The technology will increase at exponential rate, and the federal government will embrace new things like machine learning, how we search for things. Everything will be on the cloud. It's almost becoming a commodity from an infrastructure standpoint, but we'll see that in applications and software too. But the biggest change, I think, will be solutions as a service. Rather than taking just software as a service or platform as a service, we'll see complete solutions being offered on a cloud as a service. And eventually, I think there will be a human cloud where you can get the best resources to work across a human cloud with all the clearances and all that.
Greg, earlier in the show, you talked about different vendors you work with to help solve the problem. The focus is on the problem, not necessarily the vendor. No. And so I try to toss in there results, not tools. Is that a good way to do it?
That's a good way to look at it. I mean, and you said it better than I did there. Results, not tools. And Manish kind of said something that's really important there. I think as this world is shifting, as knowledge is democratized, as we see disaggregation, the federal clients of ours are going to want to experiment, and they're going to need to take risks. And to do that, there's no better firm than Attain. We're synonymous with those new business models, as we say, next generation business models. And we're the place where if you want to experiment and you want to share the risk in doing so, we are your change agent. We are the ones that can fortify your ability and be a force multiplier in getting these things done.
Like all kinds of force multipliers, when I look at the transition to the cloud, I'm just fascinated. Last week, I was talking to Dr. Busby from Commerce, and he talked about machine learning. He talked about machine learning not for managing data centers. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you can set up an AI agent and it can manage a flow of information in a data center. Sure. You're at home drinking iced tea and artificial. So this is a very practical way. Artificial intelligence sounds like Star Trek and Star Wars and all. Yeah. No. Give me nuts and bolts. Tell me how it can save me money. And there's an application for AI there.
Yeah.
Did you want to comment?
I 100% agree with that. I think that's where I go, that the federal government will start using some of that. Data center, a simple thing. Right now, if we look at patent office, it takes about 3-4 years to get a provisional patent. We could get it earlier if we had machine learning searches on existing patents. So all that will come together with the cloud, with analytics, with big data, properly secured, and along with services, which will also be as a service where the risk is shifted to the vendor.
You know, Greg, you can't really talk about data visualization or machine intelligence without talking about big data. And one associated term is a data lake. I want to call it a data landfill. It's not junk. I mean, data lake, big data. I mean, what's there? I don't know. It's very hard just to understand big data. Is this word going to go away? Is this going to be, it's just data? Or where do you see this whole concept of big data and the federal government understanding? It just seems like a tough concept for me. Not all good. All data is good or big.
Well, I think that's another great question. I think the issue is, or the trend is not so much on the big data, structured or unstructured. The issue is really around analytics, around that data, and producing knowledge with that data. And I think what you're seeing is that technology has now advanced to, in terms of capability, that you can actually get better yield now from the mining of that information to produce value. And that's what we really see as the trend. It's the use of predictive analytics embedded in the way we deliver services to our clients so that we produce more value.
Manish, back in the 1980s when I was in grade school, there was a popular group. I think it was a music called the Culture Club or something, something like that, you know. And I'm looking at you and I'm thinking about your website and your rapid growth and success working with govies and non-govies and Company A and Company B and Flex and Change. You know, it's a culture club. It's a culture change. And I think when you talked about the future, you thought about it differently than most. I mean, it's getting the most out of human beings with variety of cultures and backgrounds and systems and biases. And, you know, you get 10 people in the room, there's some people going to hate Company X, love Company X. You have to say, hey, just put that down right now. We're going to use this tool right now because this helps the customer. This is a... EQ, emotional intelligence, or maybe, I don't know, PQ, people quota. Huh? I mean, hard, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's actually the crux of problem set in, specifically if you put customers in the mix, right? So now you got people from multiple organizations.
With all
multiple
their baggage and biases, right? And we've always done it this way.
And you got multiple generations now. You got the millennials, you got the X generation, you got the baby boomers all sitting in the room, different cultures. But I think if we can align them, and that's what the leadership challenges that we are proud of, if we can align people around a set of values of how value is added to customer, how the customer succeeds, and how we achieve this mission, then those values allow us to move forward. So I think it's really about the culture you create in the team, where there is a unique culture that surpasses the individual cultures. So it is ship first, then shipmate, and then yourself. And that's what most teams, I think, of the future will understand is required to succeed.
Yes, there's an analogy there when you're an airline and there's a problem and those little things drop down to breathe. What you're supposed to do is put on yourself first to be able to help someone. Right. I mean, it's a sequence here of helping people in need. And I think it's a tricky thing. I mean, you'd go to Harvard Business Journal and probably get 30,000 articles on managing people. Right. And so many people have theories, but very few people have success. It's like, oh, yeah, I can show you how to run. Have you run a Boston Marathon? Well, I have a friend who did. I'll show you how to run it. Right. But that's the key. I mean, the key is putting these into practice and having results with varieties of human beings. And I tell you what, everyone comes, you have 10 people at a meeting. Wow, you didn't even know the minds in that room, do you?
I think it all depends on the environment that is created from the beginning. If the environment is toxic, then even if the people kind of are aligned, it's not going to work. So taking the time out to create that environment that is prevalent throughout the company and your clients that work with you is what is success.
Great, run out of time here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Greg Barone, CEO, and Manish Agrawal, President from Attain.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.